by the end of the week, the Russian parliament, the Duma, will have formalized what the international community is calling a land grab and a legal travesty, and what Russian leader Vladimir Putin is calling a restoration of the natural territory of Russia. Either way, the annexation of Crimea is looking increasingly like a fact on the ground for now. Russian forces and local militia there have reportedly taken control of Ukraine's naval facility within the last 24 hours. It is also the case that you can only get to Crimea from Russia right now, by air at least. International sanctions and non-recognition are starting to be felt inside Crimea, and it appears to U.S. Vice President Joe Biden that they are also being felt in Russia.
Russia's political and economic isolation will only increase if it continues down its current path.
Vice President Biden issued that statement yesterday, traveling in the region and meeting with Ukraine's neighbors, including the foreign minister of Poland, anxious to hear reassurances from the U.S. about pledges of common defense and the obligations of NATO, now that the alliance is suddenly back on the front line in the strategic situation in Europe after years of involvement in Iraq and Afghanistan. Joining us now is Lilith Gevorgyan, senior economist at IHS Global Insight. She joins us from London. Welcome, Lilith.
Thank you for inviting me.
Let's get right down to the details here. Ukraine is supplying Crimea's electricity. What other details in this sudden secession still have to be worked out?
Well, of course, as you mentioned, electricity supply, energy supply really is one of the key issues. Also, the peninsula's new government has taken decision to move to Russian ruble, abandoning Ukrainian hryvnia, which is also going to be economically a slightly painful process. On top of that, there's a process of nationalizing the assets and companies that have been formerly owned by the Ukrainian government. So there will be a short period of economic turmoil for the peninsula, and also making sure that the energy supply from Ukraine is uninterrupted.
Now, is that going to depend on cooperation from Ukraine? Is it going to depend on safe passage over Ukrainian territory or Ukrainian sea lanes for any of this to take place?
Well, we're really talking about the peninsula being part of the electricity grid of Ukraine. Russia hasn't got the logistics and hasn't developed its LNG capacity as far as to replace any shortages by other means. So yes, indeed, it has to depend on cooperation. But ironically, we have a situation where Ukraine really depends on Russia on its energy input. And this newly emerged breakaway peninsula depends on Ukraine almost 100% for its energy imports. So all sides involved in this triangle have to find a way to ensure that there is some understanding that the population of Crimea should not suffer because of the political fallout.
Well, let's clarify for a moment. You referred to the LNG issue. Theoretically, Russia could replace energy in Crimea with liquefied natural gas, but the logistics of doing that, the infrastructure for doing that, would have to be created almost overnight, as you refer to there. All right, let's get bigger picture here. Russia could turn off some spigots to Europe if it gets sufficiently upset about sanctions. What is the dependence on Russia vis-a-vis Germany and the rest of Europe?
We have to be very clear when we talk about Europe's dependence on Russia. As you mentioned, indeed, there are some European Union countries that are more vulnerable to any potential fallout, economic fallout with Russia than others. For example, Germany, Holland, Poland, Italy, these are the countries that have a bigger trade turnover with Russia. Having said that, I have to emphasize that even the Russian officials are already admitting that there are signs of economic crisis, and any standoff, any sanctions will only aggravate the situation for Russia. So I believe that Russia may lose more than European Union.
Lilith Gevorgyan is a senior economist at IHS Global Insight. She spoke with us from London. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI, to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.